This is Northwest News from KNKX. The Pacific Northwest has had its fair share of harsh weather and natural disasters. The National Weather Service is one of the key organizations when it comes to keeping people in this region safe. And Ted Beener is pretty much the tip of the spear when there's an emergency. He's the warning coordination meteorologist for our area. He makes sure that information is shared quickly and correctly when preparing for disasters and in the middle of them. Beener is retiring after 40 years with the Weather Service, and he sat down with 88.5's Kirsten Kendrick to reflect on that career and how the organization has changed over four decades.
When I first came on board, we had teletypes and we had wet fax machines that you would tear off and post on the wall. We plotted everything by hand, analyzed it by hand. And then things evolved with computer technology, obviously, and transitioned to, well, we all remember our Commodore machines back in the early 80s and things like that. But how computer technology has evolved dramatically in the last three or four decades, to the point now that we moved from black and white computer systems to now color digital systems. And you look at forecast accuracy, it's changed dramatically. You know, we might be lucky in 1985 to have a good three-day forecast. Now we can stretch that out closer to 7 days with that kind of accuracy and have those trends, even here in the weather-challenged Pacific Northwest.
What makes the Pacific Northwest unique when it comes to weather and weather systems and weather phenomena?
Well, our weather around here is terrain-driven. That explains why you go from one place to another, and it could be substantially different. In addition, what really is a challenge for us is the lack of information off the Pacific Ocean. It's a big data void. You've got a few buoys and ship reports, some jet aircraft flying across the Pacific, some satellite imagery and other tools like that. But generally speaking, when you look at the rest of the lower 48 compared to the West Coast, we don't have as much data to our west that the rest of the nation has.
What first sparked your interest in weather?
As a six-year-old, I lived through the 1962 Columbus Day storm in the Portland area. I remember prior to the storm, the clouds kind of had a yellowish-green color to them, moving very fast aloft. The storm struck just about sundown. On my street alone in the West Hills of Portland, I had 160 trees down on my roadway. Power was out for 10 days. You know, as a little guy, it was a pretty frightening experience. No school for that entire time period, etc. But that sparked the question, why did this happen? And my mom shared that information with me. And by the time I was age 10, I was already starting to do some forecasting.
Wow. Well, you've worked with the National Weather Service for more than 40 years. What are some moments that have stuck with you?
When you get into a career of any kind, you really want to go out and make a difference. That's really a goal for many, many people. And that was a goal for me. So for me, my first one was I was on duty when Mount St. Helens went off. The red phone rang on my desk at the aviation forecast desk, and that phone doesn't ring. And it was the flight service station at Boeing Field, and they had a pilot that he patched through. He was out of Centralia, Chehalis Airport, and he was literally the three-hour tour. Had five passengers on board a twin Cessna. They were fortunately on the south side of the mountain when she went, and their aircraft was just wickedly hit by the plume that came towering out of the volcano. A lot of heat, a lot of rock, lightning, things like that. And the pilot was heading towards Portland at that point. He gained control and headed south, got away from the volcano, and he wanted to know, how do I get back to Chehalis? Now, we had set up plans with the USGS, the Forest Service, and other partners. Contacted the Air Route Traffic Control Center in Auburn and said, Houston, we have a problem. Essentially, we shut down the airspace. Did all of that in less than an hour.
You said that you feel it's your mission to serve and help others. I imagine that's also part of your role is to be an ambassador for weather and science. How do you get people excited about those topics?
Well, I think the key there is that we all experience weather every day. We use it every day. So right there, I think we all have a keen interest, whether we know science or not. My job has been to carry that passion of not only science itself, but obviously in the area of weather. And sharing that weather knowledge so that others can experience it, be more knowledgeable on how to use weather information that'll better their lives and help keep them safe, particularly when we get significant weather in our area.
I have to imagine that it's going to be hard to let all this go as you head into retirement. What are your plans as you step out of this role and just as a, you know, fan of weather?
Well, the first joke I'm going to say is those opening days, I'm going to sleep. This is a 24/7 job and, you know, there's a lot of pressure and those kinds of things. But after that, you know, I'm not going to tear down my anemometer right away. So, but I also have other interests outside of that. I enjoy golf and I'm going to try to do some travel, volunteering. I'm an amateur radio enthusiast to try to expand in that area. You know, whatever may come my way. But the bottom line is it's been a great run at the National Weather Service for over 40 years, and it's time to make a change and go into that next chapter of life.
That was Ted Beener speaking with 88.5's Kirsten Kendrick. He's a warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service and officially retires tomorrow after 40 years of service.